From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. The list of 11 names is a top priority for the Butte County Sheriff's Office. These are the names of the last people who have not been accounted for since the campfire. You probably remember that that list at one point was well over 1,000. It's now at 11. We have posted the names on our website. I feel that we should read the names in case there's a connection that you can make. So here is the list as it stands as of last night. Harriet Baker, Darla Banks, John Casilla, Florence Cody, John Demianu, Sarah Fabia Martinez, Wendy Krug, Devin Rule, No Sabayasa, also known as Alejandro Sabalsa, John Sparks, and Noel Tafoya. So there's more information at the Butte County Sheriff's Office, and there are three different numbers to call. They are on our website. I'll give you one right now, 530, and all the numbers are 530-538. All the numbers are also 538-6570, 530-538-6570. 85 people are confirmed dead from the campfire, which started November 8th. It destroyed almost 19,000 structures, and as you've heard in our news this morning, nearly 14,000 of those were houses. In the studio with me now is Nancy Kincaid. She is press secretary for Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones. And the California Insurance Office is navigating claims and assistance for policyholders. Nancy, there is no easy way into this story.
There isn't. The tragedy is really the loss of life. And knowing first that so many people lost their lives, this is the deadliest fire in state history. And it seems as though each fire eclipses the previous one, that we then say, this is the worst fire. And now we see 50,000 people left homeless, and as you noted, 14,000 homes. That's an enormous loss of property, and trying to recover from that is difficult for people.
In that loss, what is the department's sense of how many people were or were not insured?
We don't really know that yet. People are just getting access to their properties to find out if theirs is gone, if it is damaged, or if it is completely destroyed. Our detectives in our law enforcement branch are working with the sheriff, and we're escorting insurance companies back we started this last Thursday, escorting property owners and insurers to the property so that they could document the losses. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll have a much better sense of how many, how much, and what the dollar total of those losses are.
It seems that a place to start is figuring out what's in a policy if you have an insurance policy. So can we begin with the fact that there's an online property insurance locator form?
There is. If you fled your property and you do not have your policy, the first thing to do is go to your insurance company and let them know that you have a policy and they can find it. If you are a survivor of a family member and you're trying to piece together their life and what their coverage was, we actually have an online policyholder locator that you can enter search information and we can help you find that policy. It's a form that you submit, and then the department will assist you in locating with all of the different insurers who has that policy and what the provisions of that policy are so that you can begin that claim process.
I want to put that concept of a policy in existence on hold for a minute and back up. We're hearing about FEMA's emergency resources. We have a state insurance department. How do people navigate each? And are the two entities for you completely separate?
They are in many ways. We all come together at the Disaster Recovery Center and work together to help consumers, make sure that we're getting people to navigate to the resource that they need. It starts with, do you have insurance? And if you do, the insurance companies come onto a property. They usually call it an insurance village. They bring catastrophe vehicles. They have computers. They are all set up to immediately cut you a check and get you to where you can get a hotel, a rental property, a car, whatever you need to start that process, because it really is traumatic. And people just, what you hear repeatedly, and my daughter went through a devastating house fire. And all I heard from her for weeks was, I just want to feel normal again, Mom. When's it going to be normal? And that's the hard part, is the loss of your things, your memories, and the devastation because you've lost control. And a system is kind of controlling you. So we help you navigate that system. If you don't have insurance, you do go to FEMA and SBA and see what resources are available to help you if you have no insurance. If you have insurance, start with your company, reach out to the California Department of Insurance, and the commissioner has completely mobilized our team, and they are at the Disaster Recovery Center in Butte and in Southern California to help consumers.
There is a hotline phone number. I'll give it more than once in this conversation, but this is for the State Department, and it is 800-927-4357, which we've figured out, if you have letters on your phone, is 800-ZAP-HELP. ZAPHELP. And we'll mention that again. So in this circumstance of finding out whether you have insurance or not, let's say you've located the policy. Now you have to navigate with the insurance company. There are still cautions, and your department is still providing a lot of oversight in what happens next.
We do. We regulate the carriers here in California, and they are required to follow all of those laws and regulations that govern how a policy is carried out for a consumer, how a claim is handled. It has to be handled in a specific way within a specific time period. The department is there to assist people should they run into any difficulty or conflict with the insurance company. I'll give you an example. In the North Bay fires that occurred in 2017, our consumer services team, that toll-free number you mentioned, have helped a number of consumers to the point that an additional $52 million was recovered for those homeowners who needed help settling their claim. That's money they probably would not have seen had the department not intervened and helped them with their claim.
Which isn't necessarily illegal operations by the insurance
Correct.
Companies.
Sometimes it's just a disagreement over what something might be worth or what a coverage value is or the contents that you're claiming. So many people did not have inventories, which is another topic we've talked about as being very important.
All right. Let's get back to inventories in a moment. But Merced Property and Casualty is in liquidation. And there are policyholders who had their insurance with this company. Will you clarify what the situation is?
Yeah, this is a small company out of Atwater, Central California. They wrote most of their business through the Central Valley. They've been in business for 112 years. It was a good little company, but their losses in this area, they had only 200 policies in all of Butte County. We don't know how many yet in Paradise, but looking at their book of business, they realized that based on the claims that were likely to come in, they would become insolvent because of the fires in Paradise. They make a call to the Guarantee Association, to the commissioner, and a team looks at the books, and the commissioner made the call, we need to file for liquidation because getting help for these policyholders first is most important. The good news for the policyholders is that Merced was an admitted carrier, which means they're subject to all the laws and regulations in California. And the Guarantee Association, which for lack of a better way to explain it, is like the FDIC for insurance. So they're covered. Their claims will be paid by the Guarantee Association. Right now, because the Commissioner Jones took such quick action, they are moving to transfer the assets and all of the data to the Guarantee Association so they can begin immediately processing claims for the policyholders.
It seems like the place to begin could be that hotline number and simply saying, I have been a Merced policyholder.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will get them to the Guarantee Association and get them started in that claim process.
Okay, so that hotline number again is 800-927-HELP, which is 4357. I'm talking with Nancy Kincaid from the California Department of Insurance office. I said put on hold that idea of the inventory. Let's go to that now because it's important for everybody. We're going to live in wildfire risk circumstances for a very long time. Why is a home inventory critical?
Yeah, one of the most important things that you do when you file a claim is document for the insurance company what you lost. And I guarantee you, because I've been through this with my own family, you won't remember everything you had. Even if your photos are gone, you won't remember what you owned. And typically, policyholders end up leaving money on the table because they can't remember everything. They can't claim it. They're traumatized by the fire. If you have an inventory already done, it's easy. There are free apps. The National Association of Insurance Commissioners, the Insurance Information Institute, a number of organizations offer free apps you can download on your phone. But if you don't even think to do that, I would tell you honestly, get off Facebook for just a little while. Get off your Instagram, put down the game, pick up your phone. It's funny that we have our phone with us all the time. And yet we haven't done this, most of us. Walk around your home, turn it on video, open every drawer and record what's in it. Open your closets. Walk around your house. Document the furniture. Talk about it as you do it. When did you buy it? What's it made of? Where did this come from? You can probably do most of this in about an hour. And that will get you started on what you need for home inventory. When you are trying to demonstrate to the insurer the value of something, what it was worth or how old it was, nothing will speak to it like a video or a photograph. Send that video to your cloud.
Right.
It's got great storage that way, and you're one big step ahead when it comes to the claim process.
You and I have talked about this before, even with pictures of your policy or that front page that shows your policy number and the company. And again, no matter how you feel about the cloud, it is a safe and accessible storage place for information that could be lost on a laptop or a phone.
I have two cloud accounts and I have a backup hard drive, and I have all of these things saved to that. And that way I have backup and fail-safe, hopefully, so I can get these things. I've emailed them to myself as well, so I have them in an email account that I can access. So back yourself up as much as you can, because when it comes down to it, you're going to need that information. It will make a world of difference when you're settling a claim.
I think the big picture is a statistic that's in some of your press releases, and that is now that nearly half of the counties in California have about 25% of their residential housing in a very high-risk wildfire zone, this urban-rural interface that is so dangerous.
Yeah.
And so that leads us to fire insurance overall, but even the matter of shopping for a home is critical.
It is. We tell people that when you're looking for a home today, you don't want sticker shock. When you buy a home and you find out you either can't afford the insurance or it's unavailable, which is Commissioner Jones has had great concerns about the availability and affordability of insurance. He's been talking about it for more than a year, and he's been focused on how do we get information out to people to understand this, because it is an open market. Insurers are allowed to write insurance where they choose to and where they choose not to write. He doesn't have the authority. The legislature's never given the insurance commissioner the authority to control underwriting. So we tell people, when you shop for a home, don't just look at curb appeal, crime rate, and school quality. Add a fourth element. Before you fall in love with that home, price the insurance. Make sure it's affordable. Make sure it's available. Because it's not just in the forest where we're seeing these fires. You have to look back at the last fires we've had. Some of them are in pretty urban areas. So the danger is across the state based on climate change and what we're seeing with drought and the way and where we're building our homes.
It does lead us to wonder what the premiums will do after all of the claims, the billions of dollars worth of damage from wildfires over the last couple years. What's the projection?
We actually have heard from a number of consumers who are concerned that their rates are going to go through the roof after these big losses. The good news is Proposition 3, 103, has great protections for consumers. And one of those is something called catastrophe loading. So while insurers can recoup their losses through premium increases, they can't do it all at once. So it gets spread out over time. It's usually a minimum of 20 years. So insurers will have incremental increases in the premium, and that has to be approved by the department. It's reviewed every time a rate filing comes in. So consumers are protected. Rates have to be fair, and they have to be justified. That doesn't mean they're cheap, but it means they're fair and justified, and that's what people have to keep in mind.
I see another question that comes up on your list of top questions from citizens about insurance, and that is, Why are companies allowed to cancel your coverage if you've always paid your premium and never had a fire claim?
Yeah, it goes back to that idea of an open market. Insurers may choose to write insurance where they want to. You also want to make sure when we look at a situation like Merced that is insolvent now, that you have an insurance company that manages their book of business well. You don't want them to have a big concentration of business in an area where that might make them more financially vulnerable. So they spread their risk around. The commissioner remains concerned that there are some areas where more and more insurers are leaving the area. Mm. So that's of concern. But we take it really personally when we get that non-renewal notice. Our advice to you is it's a business decision. Don't take it personally. You should be shopping for yourself as well. Find the best coverage at the best price. We have an online homeowner price comparison tool that can help you shop. Go to a broker and have a broker. That's what I did when I recently shopped. I live in a high-risk area, and I went to a broker to shop for my insurance so I could find the best coverage at the best price. And you can always call the department, that again, that toll-free number, and ask for our help. We'll help you as well.
That number is 800-927-4357. Two more quick questions. What if my car was in my garage and then my home burned or was destroyed? Is that a homeowner's insurance issue or is that an auto policy insurance issue?
Yeah, we see after these fires, you see streets that are wiped out by the fire and cars that are burned in place or in a driveway or they were in a garage. And often people mistakenly think their homeowner's insurance will cover that automobile that was or vehicle that was destroyed, the boat or RV. It's not. It's that's own policy. So your private passenger auto, your boat or your RV policy will cover it. One of the things that people typically do as their car ages is they will drop comprehensive coverage to save a little money. And it is truly a little money. In the long run, dropping comprehensive may not pay off for you because if your car is damaged, not just by fire, but vandalism or some other kind of damage to it, unless you're in a collision, it's your comprehensive coverage that would typically cover you. If you don't have that coverage, those pennies that you saved by canceling that coverage, it's not worth it. Most of those vehicles, if not all of them, are probably not covered. Unless the people had comprehensive coverage.
All right, last question, Nancy. What's the timetable on filing claims? And I say that understanding that people can still be walking around right now in shock, and they may have come under the umbrella of the federal disaster funds, the FEMA coverage, and haven't gotten to the point of looking at their policy yet. What's the window of time to be aware of?
You do have time to file your claim. You're protected for that period of time. It ranges, so it's important to call the department and talk to us about what your policy is and the kind of coverage you're talking about, whether it's an auto policy, a homeowner policy, and how much time you have to file that claim. But very important that you not assume that you're not covered. Call the department, check with us, and we'll make sure that we've got you the right information so that you can get your claim filed.
Anything else we need to make sure that we note in this conversation?
Do your home inventory.
Okay. Nancy, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you for joining us today. That is Nancy Kincaid from the California Department of Insurance. Again, that hotline number is 800-927-HELP, which is 927-4357. You can also find links to resources we've talked about, as well as the Butte County Sheriff's Office regarding anybody that is still missing and unaccounted for. It's all at capradio.org. And this is Insight on Cap Radio.